Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus, so stay a minimum of 6 feet away from others and stay home if you can. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your Tech News Briefing for Thursday, April 16th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Apple has unveiled a new low-cost iPhone model, the iPhone SE. The phone was supposed to be a strategic shift for the company to help it move into emerging markets. But with supply chains disrupted and the global economy tanking, it's unclear whether it'll succeed. Our Apple reporter Trip Mickle will join us to explain after these headlines. A Department of Defense watchdog says the JEDI cloud computing contract was awarded to Microsoft fairly. Towards the end of last year, the Pentagon awarded the $10 billion contract to Microsoft, and ever since then, Amazon has argued that they were passed over for the deal because of President Trump's public criticism of CEO Jeff Bezos. Several other tech giants also complained. Now, after a lengthy investigation, the DoD Inspector General has reported that the decision was not the result of pressure from the White House and that the selection process was conducted according to federal law. Speaking of the Pentagon, a new report shows that it's vulnerable to cyber attacks. Earlier this week, a congressional watchdog reported that Department of Defense officials have fallen behind on plans to update online security training and, quote, cyber hygiene practices and improve accountability measures. The report said that the Pentagon has also failed to implement more than half of the cybersecurity culture and compliance objectives that it had set to be completed by 2016. And that until it makes changes, the Pentagon is at enhanced risk of a successful cyber attack. And Airbnb says it's secured another $1 billion loan from investors. It's the second round of funding since the coronavirus pandemic brought travel to a near stop, bringing the total emergency funding it's raised to $2 billion. The company had planned to IPO this year. It's unclear whether it'll go ahead with those plans. After the break, Apple's released a new iPhone that's supposed to help it capture emerging markets. That's next.
I'm Jack Howe, host of the new Barron's Streetwise podcast on business and investing. This week, I focus on Disney and how the pandemic might change theme parks, movies, and television. Here's Disney Executive Chairman Bob Iger.
Just as we now do bag checks for everybody that goes into our parks, it could be that at some point we add a component of that that takes people's temperatures.
Disney Beyond the Pandemic on this week's Barron's Streetwise. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We weren't sure they were going to do it, but they did. On Wednesday, Apple launched its latest iPhone model, the iPhone SE, via press release. Much less glamorous than the flashy showcases we've gotten used to, and so is the phone. The SE marks a shift in Apple strategy. And our Apple reporter, Trip Mickle, joins us to explain. Trip, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So tell me about the new, quote unquote, new features of the iPhone SE.
You know, when you think about Apple's product development timeline, they started these things so long ago before their release. But this is kind of a case of don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. If you think about it, this is a phone that's that looks a lot like older phones, that has some of the technologies we're familiar with their older phones. For example, you know, fingerprint sensors and not the Face ID, but it features a low price of $399. And right now, when a lot of people are losing their jobs, a lower price iPhone may be a good move for the company.
Yeah, I mean, $399 is still a lot of money, like, let's be clear, but it's still a lot less than recent models. This isn't a pandemic move. You're saying this was already part of a long-term strategy.
Yeah. No, these phones are usually more than a year in development. So the timing just happens to be coincidentally beneficial in the sense that, you know, we're in the middle of a recession. And now Apple has kind of a recession model phone that just happened to be timed right for the moment.
You said it has a Touch ID, so we're back to the home button, right?
I guess you could say we're back to the future, if you will, right? I mean, it's an interesting phone in that Apple's done this once before. They launched what was an older looking phone with older technologies in 2016. That phone was also called the iPhone SE. And what they're able to do is they're able to take, you know, components that have been around for a while and machinery they've been using for years. And because they've had that machinery for a while, it doesn't cost them as much to make these phones. So they can still have good Apple profit margins, but, you know, not maybe, you know, the type of sizzle we're used to from the company when it comes to the technology and the feature specs.
There are a couple of drawbacks with the phone. The other phone that we've been kind of waiting for from Apple this year is the 5G. This obviously is not that end of the spectrum. And it's still, even with its lower price tag, it's still more expensive than some of the average phones in the markets that Apple is trying to get into, like India, for example. So could that have an impact on how well received this phone is at the end of the day?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's going to be the big challenge for this phone, is that Apple hopes that it can begin to, you know, build some market share in some developing markets like India. I mean, that's a big growth market for the smartphone world right now. China is pretty much tapped out, and that's part of the reason we've seen Apple's total number of shipments and its sales of smartphones in terms of unit sales decrease. In order to reverse that, they've got to find a market like India and sell these phones. Problem with the SE is that it's still more than double the price of the average smartphone in India. So how many people are going to buy it is to be determined. And then the other thing that it's got to contend with is there are going to be low-cost 5G phones coming out in the months ahead from Chinese smartphone makers. And, you know, the infrastructure may not be there on 5G. We still don't know about that. But there is a lot of marketing sizzle when you talk about 5G. It's a selling point. And so the allure of a phone that may be speedier, that has 5G technology and maybe a little bit faster, might make it harder for Apple to sell these iPhone SEs that don't have that technology.
And we talked about it already. Apple had some plans to release new iPhones this fall. Do we expect those to still be on schedule given everything we're seeing right now with the pandemic?
Oh, man, that's like, you know, the multi-billion dollar question in the world of Apple, right? It's like, will products be delivered on time? And that's really like, everything's so uncertain right now. We do know that Foxconn, their largest contract manufacturer, has said that production has returned to seasonal levels. But the way that Apple rolls out and develops its phones is it really begins in stages, and those stages began right in the middle of the coronavirus outbreak and when those factories really shut down in February. So it's an open question as to whether or not Apple can make up for lost time and get these phones out in the fall in September when it usually does. Many analysts are already expecting the company to be at least a month late, if not more.
All right, our reporter Trip Mickle, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, we are still taking your work-from-home tech stories and questions. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, will be back with us later this week to share her favorite tips and solutions. You can call us and leave us a voice message at the number in the description, or you can email Joanna at joanna.stern@wsj.com. And that was your Tech News Briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.